Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley, it's almost here.
Almost here.
Almost.
We're talking about our golf outing, which is coming up on Tuesday, May 23rd, mm-hmm. out at Plum Creek Golf Club in Carmel. Starts with Mass at 11 o'clock in the morning, lunch shortly thereafter, shotgun start shortly thereafter, a great afternoon of golf, and a steak dinner when we're all done.
You know, it's kind prizes. Of like being at an all-inclusive resort.
It is. You
day.
Just show up and we yeah. take care of you. There's even beverage carts that cruise the course all day long, so you're never far away from refreshments.
And that's usually my job, and I am going to kind of miss that because that is a fun time.
But you don't tell them your excuse.
Okay,
it's
okay.
a lousy excuse.
Okay. Oh, dear. My daughter, my oldest daughter, my first daughter is getting married. We will have a house full of guests, and I will be crazily stressed if I slip out that day and slip out to the golf course.
Open. We still have room for some foursomes. We need a couple of individual golfers, and we can still use some hole sponsors or higher level corporate sponsors. If you're interested in any of those or finding out more about it, give us a call here at 317-870-8400. Going to be a great day, so hope to see you there.
Okay, give us a call, 317-870-8400. Our guests, our studio is full. It kind of feels like the Radiothon again. We have one or two guests.
Our Share-a-thon was a couple of weeks ago, and we still have the phone number pasted all over the wall here. Every time I get in the studio, I think we got to take those down. The Share-a-thon's over.
Mary Beth Olischek and Justice and Zach Blankenbaker are joining us today. And actually, Mary Beth is the founder of High Definition Religious Ed. God bless you and welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get to know you guys a little bit better, a little bit more personally. So let's start with Mary Beth. Tell us a little bit about you, what parish you belong to, and your family.
I belong to St. Alphonsus Parish, and I've been married to Peter for 25 years, and we have one daughter who's a senior at Guerin Catholic.
Oh, what a wonderful school. Mm-hmm. Guerin Catholic is wonderful. Okay, how about Justice and Zach? Tell us a little bit about you guys.
Zach and I have been married for 6 years. We have three children. We attend Holy Rosary Parish, and we're both teachers at Lumen Christi Catholic School.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so this week is Ray Guarendi is coming this week. I think, is it April 29th? I think he's coming.
He'll be here Friday.
Yeah, Friday. Oh, my goodness. That guy, best. I think, I hate to say best, but I think he was the best.
He's certainly one of the most entertaining speakers that you'll ever see. He's,
oh my goodness!
Entertaining. He's funny, and yet makes some very good points.
Oh, he's wonderful.
You'll walk away with some very concrete ideas that you can put to use in your everyday life.
Oh yeah!
And yet you'll laugh all the time you're there.
Yeah, he's wonderful. I can't wait. I cannot wait. That's. I'm going that evening. I will be there. Love Lumen Christi. What a wonderful apostolate. Okay, so, and you said Holy Rosary.
Yes.
That's, of course, is Father Ryan McCarthy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so, Mary Beth, you started this high-definition religious ed how many years ago?
I think it was seven or eight years ago My daughter would have been entering fifth grade.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about why. What's the need? Why did you, what need were you filling?
Well, I did not grow up with a religious tradition. I didn't have any religious upbringing. So you could say that I was brought up by the society's ideas of religion, mm-hmm. organized religion, as I used to say, because I was taught that. I married a cradle Catholic, And after a number of years, I finally decided I was ready for RCIA. So I did go through RCIA with an excellent priest. He actually taught the entire class.
Oh my, that's unusual.
And he was a relatively new priest, but still older than I. I was 35 at the time when I did RCIA. And my husband did it with me, even though he was a cradle Catholic, and he learned just as much as I learned.
Sure.
Yeah. And I just, after the classes, I would stomp around the house in anger that no one had ever told me this before. How could this be so true? And here's the answer to all the problems I had in young adulthood, and I made bad decisions, and no one told me.
Sure.
You know, so I was like so mad. As a result of coming into the church, God gifted us with a child. And so I was sure that child was not going to grow up not knowing these facts.
Not knowing her faith.
The truth, sure. And knowing the faith. So she did do, we were not able to put her in a Catholic school, an elementary school. So we put her in religious ed and found it to be quite simple. And she didn't, it was hard to make her go after she grew past childhood. And so, you know, we ended up having to just do religious ed at home with our own lesson books for a while. But they're social creatures, children, and they want to do this with friends, want to learn with friends. So in fourth grade, we couldn't make her go anymore. She wouldn't go. And so we made a pact. Well, what if we build a program, you know, I'll just hire someone and that has a I learned that there's this thing called a theology degree. People actually have these. And then I learned from Justice there's like catechesis degree, even more so. And I'm like, wow. So I decided we'd design that. So in fourth grade, my daughter and I designed what would be a class that she would agree to go to. And then I asked at the parish for someone who would be able to teach this for us once a month. Figured out how to do that and planned a course.
Okay, so basically you went to the parish and said, help, I need some theology teacher help.
I need a young, energetic,
engaging
theology teacher
and just
for middle
as
school
Zach
students.
Kind of came on the scene.
Yeah, a mutual friend reached out and said, asked me if I would be willing to help, and I said, I don't have time to do it right now, but my husband, who also has a degree in theology, maybe he could do it. So Zach actually was the one who started teaching the class and did it on his own for about a year. And then I saw how much fun he was having and said, well, I want to get in on this too. And so we started doing it together the second year.
So let me ask you, Zach, was teaching theology, like hands-on teaching theology, something that you thought you would be doing 5 years ago?
Yeah, so I was... A couple years prior to that, I was actually working as a software engineer. That's my undergraduate degree. And by the time this one had asked Justice if she was interested, I was working on a master's in doctrinal theology.
Oh, okay.
So I was in the process at that point. I kind of knew that teaching was the direction I was going at the moment. By a mutual friend, I kind of got asked to do it, and I had some free time. We weren't married yet. We were engaged and about a year away from being married at that point. So started doing that at that point.
Okay, so you had a need, and you met up with each other and decided, let's put together this program, and you started with your daughter, but how many, by the time Zach was brought into the program, how many kids did you have?
Well, that first year, we never did it just with my daughter alone. It was, we would have like between 8 and 12, I think, in that first year or so.
And you met weekly or monthly?
Just monthly.
Monthly? Did you charge for it, or was this just meant to be a club?
We figured out, you know, this was an enhancement. This was like an activity that the children would be doing. And we wanted real teachers, not us parents. So we figured out we needed to pay. So I just came up with, you know, a movie costs, you know, $10, right? So it would be enough to ask people to pay $10 to the teacher. And then, of course, you have to have food, so we actually ended up saying 15 total per class. Right. And it's a night out. The kids are entertained. They're fed. The parents can go have a date or whatever, leave them with us. So we planned the whole evening. So the organizers planned the rest of it around it, and then the teachers, we let them do their 1 hour of teaching. I don't know if you still just do that. Yeah. And so the parents do the rest of the evening for the students.
Okay, so but 1 hour of hands-on teaching, and then maybe a little bit of social that is a little bit extra.
Well, we built in food.
That's important. If you're going to keep the kids engaged, you got to have food, right?
And for middle school, this is a middle school ministry, so it's fifth through eighth grade, so they have to move. Right. So we had to have movement activities and games, but I promised my daughter the games would have something to do with the lesson. We were not allowed to color.
I like that.
We were not allowed to do any crafts.
No. That would have stymied me. I love
no,
crafts.
They don't want to do crafts. So, but they would do games as long as they had something to do with the lesson.
If you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Mary Beth Oleschek, Justice and Zach Blankenbaker, and we're actually talking about high-definition religious ed that was started at St. Francis Algroy about 8 years ago. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Catholic Radio, changing hearts and minds.
I started listening to the Catholic Radio a few months ago. I guess I'm a little hypocritical right now because I'm not Catholic, and it just makes my day go by so much faster. I love the spiritual family that you have. I just think it's so awesome.
You can help keep Catholic Radio Indy on the air by making a donation at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Mary Beth Oleschek, Justice and Zach Blankenbaker, and they are theology teachers. And Mary Beth is the founder of High Definition Religious Ed at St. Al's. You know, as I was listening to you describe your hunger and need, Mary Beth, for more, and it was filled by theology teachers, I am reminded that I had five children, and over the years here at Faith in Action, there have been many parents who have come through our doors who have wanted something like this, who aren't getting enough through Catholic schools, through religious ed, they want more meat and potatoes. It seems like we're giving them the vanilla version, but parents and sometimes even the students are saying, we want more, we can handle more. There have been all kinds of little groups, from little flower groups, after school groups, we've had a range. We've probably had five or six groups, but they've all had basically the same desire, more. They want more. So let me ask you this. I was raised on the Baltimore Catechism. When you talk about catechesis that was like way back when, and the desire to know a black and white answer, you know, question answers in the early years, first through fifth, sixth grade, is very important, you know, a question and answer. But then you get into kind of middle school and into high school where there's more discussion because kids have more questions. So how do you approach it? What kind of material? Where do you come up with the material that you use?
So the way that we started was, I remember Mary Beth talking about the fact that at her school, her daughter was learning about the Protestant Reformation from a very secular point of view. And so one of the first lessons that we worked on developing was a Catholic response to understanding what happened during the Protestant Reformation, what exactly doctrinally was being taught, and what particularly the Council of Trent and great saints like Charles Borromeo, what they did in response to that. And I think that that's one of the really important things about our faith is helping students to see where what we believe fits within the context of the history of our faith, that understanding that background can help them to not only understand, but accept and believe those things too. So that's really where we draw a lot of our material for HDRE from is what is it that we believe and why do we believe that? And why did we have to articulate that as a church?
Okay, so you are digging up you're doing the research and digging up the material yourself, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, is any of this student-driven? Is any of it come from the student saying, this is what I'm learning, but I don't quite understand it, help me more, I want more, or I want to go deeper?
So every year we kind of try to develop some theme that we're going to try to follow. So last year we did basically Catholic countries. We call it Catholic Passport. We talked about the Catholic history of, say, Poland and Germany, Italy, France. So one a month. We kind of try to brainstorm with some of our students who have been coming for a while, and try to figure out what the theme for the year should be. So they get kind of their input on that end of things. But once class starts, they're always, they can always ask questions, but we're kind of trying to go kind of into deeper material than they would get in, say, a standard religious education class. And we're not trying to replace standard religious education. We're not CCD, we're not Sunday school. We're trying to be supplemental, but try to provide them with that, just a look into how much depth and how much more there is.
Yeah.
Although we can only, really give them a taste, since we only meet once a month. We kind of trying to open the doors to them.
Yeah, just an enhancement.
Does your class have homework, meeting once a month? Do you give the students something to a challenge to perform between this meeting and the next one?
No, there's no homework. We're pretty, we're kind of episodic, right?
Episodic, I like that.
Yeah, each class tries to be self-contained, because there's always kids who can't come every single month, or they come once because they're visiting friends or something. So we try to be self-contained within the class. The standard formula is the kids show up around 6:30. They eat dinner, usually pizza, because they're middle schoolers. And then we teach for about an hour, starting at 7 to 8, and then they play a game. It usually involves some type of movement that's tied to a theme that we were talking about. And we do a review game at the end, kind of like you would do in any kind of school class, right?
Okay.
So we try to encourage them to take notes, since it helps, retention.
Sure.
So they take notes, and then we play a review game, and they win candy, because...
Because that's always good. I mean, who doesn't like candy? So this is a Friday or Saturday night.
So
it's not during a school week. It's interesting. We have had recently, started probably in December, January, Sandra Measel, who's kind of a church historian, and she's been taking us through the Reformation, Catholic. First we started with King Henry VIII, and then we talked about Luther, and now we're talking about women of the Reformation, both Protestant and Catholic women through the Reformation, and now we're going on to Calvin. But we're kind of doing it like this episodically. But what's interesting is I've run into so many people who have said, I never learned this before. I mean, this is new information to us. We don't know history. I mean, I went through Catholic grade school. I have been cradle Catholic, but church history is not something you get even from going to Mass every week, even going through, I've helped with RCIA. This is not something that the average Catholic in the pew even gets. You have to kind of do it on your own.
Yeah.
So, kudos to you for recognizing the need and bringing it about. What's interesting, though, listeners, is I got a couple emails from parents who were involved in this program, but one in particular who's kind of a small world, she's been a guest before, Amanda O'Daniel, and she wrote this, which is kind of interesting. So this is from a parent's point of view, which I'm sure they love this. I'm sure they love it, because it's, of course, don't we want to find people who can partner with us and help to enhance our kids' religious ed, right? She said, I wanted to take this opportunity to tell you how much Annalise has enjoyed your program. This is exactly what she has needed. Over the last year, I have been dragging her to Sunday school, and she has been less than thrilled, to say the least. Now she can't wait for the weekend of your classes. What a difference. There's also another student, or another parent, who says, my boys look forward to this every month. So I'm sure that you get, if two people wrote it, that 10 people thought it, right? Okay. So we talked a little bit about how often you meet, and this is just, where do you draw from? Because you're located up in Zionsville, but how far away do you draw? Do you have any idea?
I think most of our families are North Side families, but we have people from Our Lady of Mount Carmel, St. Maria Goretti, quite a few homeschooled families, and students coming from Highlands Latin School as well.
Highlands Latin School. That's a new one for me.
Not familiar with that one.
I'm not familiar with that
one. It's a classical Christian school, but we have a lot of families that are coming from there.
Okay. Okay. All right. So how many do you have in your group? And you do it through the school year, right? September to May,
and
or whatever.
Where do you do this?
At St. Elmo's.
Okay.
We usually have between 20 and 25 students per month.
Oh, so a really good group.
Yeah.
All right. And this has been going on for?
8 years now, I think.
8 years. So you've had people, you've had kids that have graduated out of the middle school, and then what?
Well, some of them have come back. They come back every month as volunteers. That they help us plan the games end of things and run the games. So we currently have three high school students that consistently come every month and help us, which is really wonderful.
And how young, at the young end, can students participate?
Fifth grade,
okay.
Okay, so you have middle school, basically you're teaching middle schoolers, right?
Yes.
But once they get on to high school, going to high school, I mean, being theology teachers, you've got the material. Has there been any desire or any talk about continuing it in high school?
Not yet.
Not yet.
To be determined, yeah. To be continued.
I mean, that's where youth groups sometimes take over at the parish level. But again, youth groups, and we have many children, and you have many children, Jim. I mean, it doesn't seem to be this. It doesn't seem to be the focus is religious ed. Although that is where, the kids get confirmed. So there is a certain amount of, religious ed that goes on. I wonder if you've ever thought about this, Mary Beth, that there are, we talk about the core curriculum for our kids to go from the first grade into the second, mm-hmm. second into the third, even out of middle school, what they need to accomplish in grade school before they get to high school. We've talked about things like Core 40, where everyone mm-hmm. said that we've got to do this, but we don't seem to have that for religious ed. We don't seem to have that for our Catholic faith. You need to know this. You should do this. I mean, have you all talked about that together, that you would like to have certain things that you would like to accomplish or you would like the kids to have a grasp of before they leave your care?
I can say from a parent's point of view, it has seemed to me that religious ed is for the children whose families are not that well formed in the faith, and they're trying to just get the families to Mass and to be part of the church. But many parishes have a school, and in the school they'll have theology class. So in my parish, one of the reasons why we started this program is that we didn't have access to any regular theology class in the schools. All we had was religious ed. And I agree with you that the curriculum, we attended multiple churches through my daughter's young childhood, and I tried to affect or influence the religious ed curriculum, and it's just very difficult to do. It's very entrenched in this way of buying a booklet set and then having parents teach from the booklet, and the booklets are not very rigorous. They're very high level, God is love, let's color. What I was struck with in fourth grade, which is why we planned this enrichment event, it was is intentionally for the kids who actually want to know more. They're not being dragged to class, which sometimes the religious ed students are, or, the parents are making them go. They're not being dragged to this. This is something that they go to because they want to know more and they want to ask the questions. And what struck me in fourth grade was I couldn't help my daughter with her math homework anymore. I didn't understand the math homework. It was so complex. We're teaching them really complex things in our schools these days. By middle school, I couldn't help her with science. Some of the history was too far along for me to be able to help her with. And then we send her to Sunday school, and it's so simple that they're bored.
Right.
So I'm like, well, if she can absorb that kind of math instruction, she can absorb true theology instruction.
We can talk about the Reformation.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Now, everything we've been talking about so far is all going on at St. Alphonsus in Zionsville. Is this something that could be imported by another parish, or started from scratch at another parish, and where would they begin?
I guess I want to emphasize we rely pretty heavily on a couple of families that do all the logistics. Zach and I get to do the fun part. We design a lesson, we come in, we teach it, we play some games, and we go. But we have a couple of families that have really consistently for many years been handling the logistics side of things. So It might be possible, but we don't really handle that aspect of it in terms of starting something.
But if there's someone who's listening right now at another parish and listening to what you did, Mary Beth, because you there was a hole, a gap in your child's education, in your education, and you wanted to fill it, and prayed about it, and look what fell into your lap. Two theology teachers that are now teaching theology, teaching a deeper, more to your children, and affected many, many children. So there have to be other parishes, and they certainly have the same resources or similar resources available.
That's correct. We have a contact number or phone address, I think we have, that we can give out, and if they contact that, us parents who did all the logistics, sure, we'd be happy to advise someone on the structure. It's pretty simple structure that we could advise them on. The challenge will be to work through to find some young adults that have theology degrees that are willing to do this. But as you can see, they've been doing it, and they have three children, and they love doing it, and they're going to continue doing it. I'm positive that there's plenty of other young people in the area with theology degrees who would love to do this. And I think the key is pay them $10 a kid. Because
well,
it makes it worthwhile.
Make it worthwhile to get
it makes
out of
it
the
worthwhile
house.
For them to to do the work to bring this class to the children.
We have a little bit less than a minute left. You had a number that you wanted to share, and Zach, I'll just cede it to you. Tell us a little bit, maybe wrap this up with what this last several years has meant to you.
So as Mary Beth was saying, like, we need these kids to be really interested in this. So we're trying to really just show them that the faith is really interesting. So we're just trying to show them the whole depth that there is and all the interconnectedness. So we're not systematic. We're not trying to just tell them all the little details about the faith. We're just trying to show them that the faith is really interesting and deserves your attention and deserves your work. So our part is half to teach the material, but half to show them how excited we are to teach the material. That's really what we're about. Just showing them that we find this really interesting, and I'm happily spending 4 hours per 1 hour lecture for you because I find the material interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And when I'm interested in it, then I can convey to them that they should be too.
Sure, that comes.
That's
true.
Really a large part of the class.
And Justice, the phone number?
Yeah, it's actually an email address, and it's registerhdre@mindspring.com.
Okay, and one more time.
registerhdre@mindspring.com.
Okay, and I want to thank you all, Mary Beth Oleschek, Justice, and Zach Blankenbaker, High Definition Religious Ed at St. Alphonsus. God bless you. God bless you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.